Ariel, is that the same guy who called me the sage of the Southwest a moment ago? Good morning, everybody. This is the final hour of the Chad Hasty Show. Rush Limbaugh at 11:05 today here on KFYO. And our special guest this hour is Mayor Glenn Robertson. And if you've got questions for his honor, the mayor, the number toll-free is 800-687-0790, 687-0790. Locally, of course, it's 770-5790. Good morning, Mayor. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you, sir?
You sure look nice today. You got on a suit.
I've got to leave here and go do a promo, but I would like to change the intro. They said that Chad Hasty's off today and then introduced you. Mm-hmm. I think they need to say Chad Hasty is off today and so is Paul Orbean.
Well,
let's get this started on the right
track. Right, absolutely. let's not try to mislead the listeners.
Here. No, sir.
How you been?
I've been good, thank you.
How you feel?
You know, I'm feeling better and better.
You've had a few health issues.
It's been a tough year, but I'm bouncing back, and I've got my weight down and exercising and eating right and feeling really good now.
That eating right sucks, doesn't it?
You know, my diet is if it tastes good, spit it out.
That's right. That's the best diet in the world. Yeah. How are things at City Hall?
Interesting. Busy. But, you know, overall, it's good. We've got about 10 to 15% of what I like to call the drama that is always a distraction. But 80 to 85% of what we're doing is still good. It's productive. And it's still a fun job.
I think probably, Glenn, Lubbock Power and Light is probably on everybody's punch list right now at the top. And let's talk about some of the issues involved with Lubbock Power and Light and 2019.
Okay.
Councilman Klein was on earlier this morning, and I reminded him that it doesn't appear that the fact that Southwestern Public Service still has a commitment for, I think it might be 140 megawatts or
correct,
160 megawatts.
170 till 2045.
Right, till 2045. And I don't think that's mentioned enough. I don't think, because I talk to a lot of people that tell me, well, in 2019, the lights are going out.
No,
the lights are not going out, but we do need more generation. And as a businessman,
right,
not as mayor, as a businessman, I want to ask you, and you're a proven businessman. You've been very successful in several areas of business. What do you think would be the wise thing for the voters to do ahead of 2019? Do you favor purchasing wholesale power? Do you favor a generation plant, a gas-fired plant? Do you, if you had your druthers, what would you druther do?
I think our best option right now is for the city of Lubbock to build approximately 530 megawatts of gas-fired generation, single cycle. It's the most cost-efficient to build. Now, it's not the most cost-efficient to run. Now, we're going to have to spend upwards of $350 to $400 million turnkey to get this plant up and operating. But we're getting the middlemen out of the picture. We're getting the developers out of the picture. And developers have been the issue that we've fought for 3 or 4 years now. So that would be, if it came down, if it was my business and I could make a decision today, I would rebid everything that we've got out there. I'd bid it to anybody that had enough experience to build and operate this plant for us. I would contract the operation. I'd have it operated as a tolling facility, and I think it'd be our cheapest route, and we would still end up with very affordable, secure electricity.
We have customers for excess power right now through the West Texas Municipal Power Agency.
Yes.
A lot of people are going to be, unlike Lubbock, there's going to be a lot of small communities around here in a Melva Hess in 2019 or sooner, possibly.
Yes.
And some of those are fairly close by.
Right.
And so do you think at 530 kW, do you think that that is sufficient to provide not only current use in Lubbock, but future planned growth in Lubbock and the possibility of finding customers for the excess generation?
You know, I think it does. Visiting with the consultants, people that have came in and really looked at this, and you're correct. We've got 170 megawatts that we're still going to get from Xcel through 2045.
Right.
We can generate about 130 megawatts ourselves. Now, granted, we have to take into consideration how old that generation is and that there's going to be issues. We've also, through Wetumpka, have purchased 100 megawatts of wind energy to begin in 2019. You only net about 52 megawatts because the wind in that area blows about 52% of the time. But with everything that's been factoring in a 1.5% growth for Lubbock, Tulia, Brownfield, and Floridata, it looks like that will be very sufficient. Plus, realize that we'll be selling into the South Plains power pool. And on days where we reach in peak demand, we will have the ability to pull power out of that power pool as well. So I think 530 is a good number for us.
A lot of people ask me, they say, well, when we get off of the Caprock, all we see are these wind generators.
Yes.
But that power goes to ERCOT, which goes out and off of the South Plains of Texas.
Yes.
It does not have any it provides no power up here on the Llano Estacado on the South Plains. And a lot of people just don't understand that, but that's just the way it is. Now, has there been any discussion among the Electric Utility Board, which you are a non-voting member of as mayor, you sat in on those board meetings, has there been any discussion to repower Holly Avenue? I refuse to call it by the Cook Station, by its real name.
I understand.
Okay. But because I understand that there's possibly some gain by maybe repowering Holly Avenue, and that's the one out on the Slayton Highway.
Right.
And is it cost effective? Would that be cost effective if that's in the discussion?
You know, one of the original plans, and the direction has shifted to more going to developers, which I have an issue with. But the original recommendation from the consultants was to build 530 megawatts and then to look at Holly Station and have it ready to go back online if necessary, either repowering it, retooling it, doing whatever it takes. It gives you a little bit of redundancy. It's going to have you an ability to build extra power into the system. Let's say if we get to 2025 and our growth because of the oil field situation that's, you know, 90 miles away from us, we get out of this 1.5% growth rate that we've been in for years, and we get up to 2.5%. That gives us a little cushion in that we know we've got that facility there, and we can kind of rely on it as maybe some excess. So I felt like that was a great plan, still think it is.
Or if we get a major manufacturer in here.
Exactly. Somebody that needs a lot more demand.
Massive amounts of power.
Now, you know, of course, the issue is, and we have to be careful, because for all these generators, it takes water to cool the towers.
Right.
And it takes massive amounts of water. So we're having to factor in water. Are we going to use effluent water? Do we have the pipelines to it? Access to the effluent water? There's a lot of factors, as you well know, that aren't being discussed at the public level.
No. And some of that's, even though I hate to say this, because I think that everything that is possible should be transparent, but there's some of these things you just can't talk about.
Well, I mean, yeah, when you're in the middle of a bidding process and you've got 13 people that have responded to an RFP and they're competing with each other, we cannot deal with that situation in the public light simply because you're dealing with large companies that don't want their bids divulged to each other. I mean, there's a lot of proprietary information and hard numbers that they do not want their competitors to have until bids are issued, and I think we need to respect that.
Right. When you came on as mayor, Glenn, I don't want to say you were critical of the current Godeke lease, but but Godeke has been on your radar since you have been in the mayor's office. Give me an idea of where you are right now on the Godeke library issue.
You know, I wasn't critical of how we ended up in the lease. I think it was a great decision at the time because, and I know you were part of that decision, it was a temporary solution. What happened is we got complacent everybody felt like, well, this is going to go on forever. Well, we're finding out now that they do want us out of that building next year. So now we're in a bind. It's the reason I started looking at it a year ago, trying to come up with a solution. There's been a lot of talk about building a $7 to $8 million facility at Jack Stevens Park. When we start talking that kind of money, I think it's going to have to go to voters. And the problem we have now, we're looking at November 2014 at the earliest for a bond election. If a bond was to pass, then you're looking at a minimum of a year to year and a half before you could get a facility built. And so we're back in the same situation that we were when you were on the council.
Right. We didn't have a library facility south of 19th Street.
Exactly. And so now, through a little bit of being unwilling to understand this is a critical situation and we have to come up with a short-term solution to a long-term problem, we're back under the gun, and I don't like being under the gun.
Right, I understand. Again, you know, I ask you about building a power plant and what your druthers were. Do you favor leasing or buying or building? Or,
you know, my solution to the library system would be build one very nice, state-of-the-art, centrally located library for Lubbock, Texas. You can get anywhere in this town in 15 to 20 minutes,
right.
Anywhere, from southwest Lubbock to northeast. You can get anywhere to the center of Lubbock in less than 15 minutes. So I don't know that it may not be time before we spend $8 to $10 million that we don't readdress and at least look at how we operate our system and let the voters decide, do they want to continue to have 3, 4, 5 branches, or do we want to have one of the best libraries in the state but only have one that's centrally located?
Good point and good thought, too. We're going to take a break here. We have got Mayor Glenn Robertson in the studio today here on the Chad Hastie program. The number is 770-5790. If you've got a question for His Honor the Mayor or outside the area, 1-800-687-0790. I'm Paul R. Bean in for Chad Hastie. Join Carl Tepper Wednesday, Thursday, Friday here, and Chad will be back on Monday. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Paul R. Bean on the Chad Hastie program, and our studio guest today is Mayor Glenn Robertson, who has getting close to serving 2 years in the mayor's
About office. A year and a half now, yes, sir.
Any surprises that you didn't anticipate? What's been your biggest culture shock being mayor?
Well, the biggest surprise was how good staff actually is, because I had some predetermined ideas, and I'm not talking at the top layer. I'm talking underneath that top layer, down to boots on the ground, 2,300 employees.
You're talking about men that'll be out there in a 15-foot
yes.
deep ditch trying to fix a water main break with it 22 degrees outside.
Exactly, or the wind blowing 70 miles an hour and a lineman on a pole at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
That's probably been my biggest eye-opener, is how many absolutely dedicated employees we got. Like you say, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning with blowing snow, they're out there trying to make sure our services are still going, and they're not paid very well for it.
They're really not.
That's been one of my biggest shocks. Past that, I knew there'd be a lot of drama, but I didn't know how much drama. I'm absolutely still amazed at how much personalities are drawn into decisions when we shouldn't have any personalities. We need to be able to check them at the door, and I understand that it's virtually impossible, but this council has had a lot of drama, and that's, like I say, that's the shock that I have not liked.
So that harmony thing's not working out very well right now.
Well, you know, I will tell you, it's better than it's portrayed, but understand, this council has 7 really independent, diversified members. If you look at the makeup of this council, we're very diversified, and we represent a lot of different walks of life. And yet everybody on this council is a type A, very passionate personality.
There's some people on that council, Glenn, that really don't seem to like other members of the council.
Well, and I think that's true, and I think that's probably always been the case. And I don't think you can ever get away from that. But I keep reminding myself that we don't have to like each other, but we do have to respect each other.
Absolutely.
And there's a big difference. And you can respect a person and the seat that they hold. And it doesn't mean you have to like them. You know, it's kind of like if you're in a big family, you finally learn you don't have to like all your relatives, but you got to love them.
Right. In your year and a half as mayor, what are you proudest of?
Number one, that we've reduced the debt already about 15% in a year and a half. I think that's been it's been tough to do, and it's been a constant battle. But I think the fact that we've gone from $1.25 billion to $1.05 billion is a giant step in the right direction. I would couple that with the fact that we've stopped some of the increases in the fees on utility bills. I just think putting the city of Lubbock on a different path financially, although I agree with how we got to where we got, because, you know, the majority of our debts across four departments, water, wastewater, LP&L, and stormwater.
Right.
But I am proud of the fact that we're reducing that debt.
And interest rates are helping that also.
Interest rates are helping tremendously because we're amortizing more debt than we would be if the interest rates were up. So, you know, we're in a great environment to do that. And the fact that we've been able to at least get consensus on the fact that we're going to try to hold spending down for a couple of years, knowing that 2019's coming, I think has been very prudent.
Let's go to the phones. Michael is on the phone for Mayor Glenn Robertson. Good morning, Michael. You're on the air with the mayor.
Good morning. I think my first prediction about that the council was going to be like herding cats is pretty relevant. But I was just wondering if you had heard anything from whichever level actually put out the RFPs. My open records request was on the 16th, so I guess they've got another day or so before they tell me how many hundred billion dollars it's going to be. But I just wondered because Gary Brown told me it did not go through WTMPA, and but I've never heard back from him since. That was a 6 o'clock in the morning phone call. And but I just wondered if it went through LP&L, then have you heard anything? This was basically dealing with the same things that I think everybody's asking now about the RFPs or, you know, the bid documents, and just to be sure that everything went through the correct channels and, you know, the signed engineering contracts and the agendas or the minutes of either the EUB or the WTMPA board meetings where they discussed it or awarded it, and then any invoices for payments made on these contracts.
Well, at this point, Michael, I can tell you that the RFP was issued by LP&L, not by Wetumpka. Wetumpka was involved in hiring the consultant, original consultant, to look at what we needed to do. The RFP was issued and is being handled by LP&L, and we are still in the middle of the bid process. So state law requires we're still in the dark period where we can't discuss any of the pertinent information, who the bidders are. The
well, I'm not asking for that. I'm just asking for the not necessarily the bidders that are out there. I'm looking for the just the process. Or is that going to? I haven't found anything much that they'll answer anyway. It's all been pretty much in the dark. But go ahead.
All right.
Well, we're up against a hard break. Michael, you want to hold on till after the break? Or
be fine.
Okay, all right.
Sure.
We'll be back with Michael and the mayor here on the Chad Hastie program right after this break. This is KFYO, and this is the Chad Hastie program on 790. Back with our studio guest on the Chad Hastie Show is Mayor Glenn Robertson. And Mayor, you and Michael Ward having a conversation
yes.
before the break. Go ahead.
And Michael, I'm not real sure exactly what your question is. Is it regarding your open records or?
Well, I was just wondering if there was any chance they were going to answer any part of it as far as, you know, trying to track that down. But also, I want to thank you for being open all the time. I guess you'll have your coffee next Tuesday, but it just seems like there's a lot of the others that are pretty closed all the time on there, and it's hard to get a real discussion going, because I think a lot of us are kind of wondering how much, you know, the future electric deregulation and different power sources and all sorts of things are going to have on this. And we feel like we're the owners of this company, and yet we're completely, you know, pretty much shut out of any open things. So hope that maybe the council can have an open meeting, like I think Burley was suggesting at the last council meeting. But by the way, when are the November council meetings? I'm sorry, are you there?
Yes, we're still here.
Okay, click. I was wondering when the November council meetings were. We're trying to schedule an evening to show a film about smart meters that we don't want to do it on a council evening. So I just wondered, I know it'll vary some because of Thanksgiving, or maybe it won't.
Well, and I'm pulling up my calendar right now, and while I'm pulling it up, I'll answer your first question.
Okay.
I don't know when or if you'll get an answer from LPNL. I'll just be real frank with you. They do have a new attorney, and he is handling all of those type of requests, and I'm not even going to attempt to speak for him.
Yes. All right. That might be a good thing, but I haven't met him yet.
We will have a meeting on the 21st of November. And let's see here. Looks like we will have one on the 7th. So the 7th and 21st of November are two dates.
Okay. That was what I was wondering, because that would be just a week apart from last week's. But I sort of figured that's what would be, since Thanksgiving's late this year. It's on the 28th. So.
Yes, ma'am. And I want to thank you for mentioning that I will be having my monthly coffee next Tuesday, the first Tuesday of every month at Market Street at 19th and Quaker, 7:30 to 8:30. Market Street provides coffee and some little muffins, and I'm there to answer any and all questions.
Yeah, it's a good one-on-one, and a lot of people have taken advantage of it, and I just appreciate you taking the time to talk to any of us that need it all the time. So I'll let some more folks in, but I'm just interested in, you know, looking at the full spectrum of things that are going to be available, and give us as much information as we possibly can without getting into proprietary things. So appreciate your openness.
Thank
you.
Talk to
you later. Bye-bye.
Okay. Mayor, let's talk about something that is going to be on the radar real soon.
Okay.
And that is the contract for downtown redevelopment.
Yes.
I think a lot of people have probably, I think it's fair to say that many people are a little bit disappointed on the lack of progress of downtown redevelopment. And how do you see that, the possibility of a contract renewal shaking out? And how do you feel about the current status of downtown redevelopment?
Well, I'm like everybody. I wish we were farther down the road. I think we got to understand that this last 5 years that the master developer's been working, all of the work that's been being done is that preparatory type work that you don't see. It's the designing of how do you lay out the new streets. Do you close some alleys? Do you close some streets? It's designing of how you bury the utilities. You know, we've got to sit down and visit with AT&T. We've got to visit with NTS, Atmos Energy, everybody that's involved. So there's been a lot of work going on that people don't get to see. But there is a large amount of frustration, I think. The downtown TIF, the Tax Instrument Financing Board, is going to be recommending to this council. They're going to be the one that puts out the bid for master developers. It will be open back up to anybody that wants to bid on it. My understanding is it's now going to change, and it'll be a pay-for-performance type contract to where there may be a small amount of base pay, but the rest of it's going to be, if you really want to earn money on this contract, you're going to have to perform. So I think the fact that the TIF board's looking at that, if you'll look, there's a private group out there that I know has raised close to $2 million, a for-profit corporation, Downtown Development Corporation, that's all private investors. Their sole goal is to put money in downtown Lubbock and they're going to try to make money, which I'm all for, but they're going to invest in downtown. So I think the fact that now that we're seeing some private money come into the market, we're seeing a few things happen. I hope that we've got some solutions on the Omni building within the next 90 days.
That was my next question, the Omni building.
Yes, sir. It's, that's a tough one. We have filed suit in district court.
Right.
And, I really hope that we'll have some announcements coming up in the next 60 to 90 days there that I think will be positive for Lubbock. If we can get just a two or three of these hurdles out of the way, then I think maybe we'll start seeing the private money come into downtown, because that's what we got to have. We have to have private investors willing to invest their dollars in downtown Lubbock.
But, you know, Glenn, you and I have agreed on something for many, many years. I think the future of downtown Lubbock lies in part to student housing.
No doubt. I mean, you look at the close proximity to Texas Tech. The fact that the chancellor of Texas Tech right now truly thinks there may be some federal funds to in the future get a rail going between, or tram if you like, between Texas Tech down Broadway to a terminal ending in downtown. That would be huge.
Oh.
You get something like that, then you start producing some student housing. You get body counts in downtown, or head counts, if you like. That's when the private investor is going to go down there and start buying property and refurbishing. And it's a chicken or egg deal.
Sure.
And in this case, the head count has to come first before you're going to get the private money.
Can you imagine what would be happening in downtown Lubbock if 4,000 college kids live down there?
It could be one of the greatest things that ever happened to the city of Lubbock.
Absolutely.
We're sitting here at 33,000 students at Tech. I'm going to promise you, Chancellor Hans, now even though he's retiring, he has set it in motion. We're going to get over 40,000 by 2020.
Oh, I agree. I believe that.
And it's our job as a city and as a council, we've got to get ready for them. And I agree with you. I mean, the future of downtown Lubbock is connected to Texas Tech. It could do tremendous things. Imagine if we could actually get this tram going, and if Texas Tech could take it from their circle and expand to the football field and maybe over towards law school. And then if in downtown we could expand north and south to where you could park, say, on 17th Street in Texas and get on a tram and ride to the football stadium, or get on a tram and ride to the arts community. There's a lot of thought being put into this. There's a lot of people really planning, trying to pull this together. There will be people going to D.C. to visit with legislatures. But I really think the combined effort and the fact that we've got folks trying to work together could really pay dividends for us in downtown Lubbock 10 years from now.
Imagine Lubbock.
That is a situation that is completely chamber-led. I've seen their final presentation. I've seen no information on funding. And I think that's probably intentional. I think their thought process, and I hate to speak for them because they're so far removed from us.
Sure.
But I really think the thought process is let's have a think tank and let's come up with a bunch of ideas and let's see how many people we can get working together. And I think that's the key. We've heard a lot of negative about it, but as long as we're not spending taxpayers' money, I'm all for them.
Let's go to the phones right quick. Julian, we've got just a couple of seconds before our next break. You're on the radio with Mayor Glenn Robertson.
The question that I had is that we're talking about a lot of issues, but what I was thinking is it possible if we can start a million tree campaign to plant trees up and down Marshall Sharp Freeway along the interstate, around the Loop, because it looks so. You got a nice stadium, but, man, it looks, a little dirty,
And, Julian, the issue we've got there is that those are state roads. The Loop and Marshall Sharp Freeway both belong to TxDOT, And okay. They are responsible, and they're only ones that could actually plant trees or anything along either of those thoroughfares. So it's really kind of outside our hands as a council.
I'll tell you, Julian, from my point of view, if they don't cut the weeds along Marsha Sharp, we're going to have some weeds tall enough for trees.
We're going to have trees.
That's for sure. If you look at it, we have such a nice stadium, and then we look at it, it looks like, you got construction coming up, but I would think it would do a whole lot of good. We have visitors coming into town, and you look and you go, well, you got nice buildings, but you got weeds taller than they look like trees. You're
absolutely
right about that.
Great call, Julian. Thank you, sir. Let's take a break here right quick. We'll get back with Mayor Glenn Robertson and finish up here in just a moment. Still got a couple of things to talk about. Appreciate your calls this morning. This is the Chad Hastie Program. Heidi. This is the Chad Hastie Show, and I'm not Chad. I'm Paul R., and our studio guest is Mayor Glenn Robertson. College Baseball Hall of Fame. Any progress report there, Mayor?
Everybody I've talked to that's on that committee is still very positive. They think they're getting closer and closer to the goal, and they feel like that's going to actually happen. So I'm pulling for them. I hope it does.
Oh, I do too. And back to downtown redevelopment for just a moment. Something like 56% of the downtown property is non-taxable. We're talking about government buildings and churches. And,
exactly.
And I understand that the TIF, if it's not broke, it's badly bent.
Yes.
So
We've got to get the solution to downtown Lubbock is still bottom line. You've got to get private investors pouring their money in there.
Right.
And, we've got to be responsible for getting the infrastructure in there. But after that, the investors will come if we do our job correctly.
Water rates, are they are we looking at redoing the water rates? I know Councilman Klein had some conversations on the show this morning about the possibility of maybe redoing water rates.
We are in a very slow, steady process of slowly reducing the base fee and raising the rate per thousand, your usage rate, to a net zero amount. And the reason that we've been following that pattern for 2 years is trying to promote and incentivize conservation.
Mm-hmm.
And to make it fair. We don't need one class of ratepayers subsidizing another. Now, there's been a lot of talk about rate stabilization. We've got stabilized water rates. And the more we can go to a lower base fee and higher usage fee, you're stabilizing rates. LPNL is also currently looking at stabilizing rates. So I think all of that's going to happen.
Good. Anything else before you go? Anything that you wanted to discuss? You've been good about answering all the questions. Anything on your mind?
I like to, and I'm trying to start to end these shows with reminding people how good Lubbock is, how lucky we are to still live in Lubbock. Now, in my position, talking to the media a lot, it seems like we're always talking about negative things. But I think my job is to start talking about all the positives. Look at our house building starts. Look at our economy. Look at Texas Tech University. Look at our medical community. We've got a very good, steady growth rate. I am excited to be not only a citizen in Lubbock, but I'm excited to be the mayor of Lubbock.
I tell those haters that Southwest Airlines is ready for when they are. Just hit the road, Jack, if you don't like it here.
I'm going to tell you, there's not a better place. There really aren't. We're, in my opinion, we are extremely fortunate to live in the greatest state, in the greatest country, and probably one of the greatest cities in that state.
Well, I tell people that many, many, many years ago when my young wife and I came here, we didn't have two nickels to rub together. And what little we've been able to cobble together, we owe to the good folks of Lubbock. Because
exactly.
They just gave a young couple a chance to work hard and maybe get a little bit ahead.
Still the best.
Have some things that we never dreamed we'd have.
That's right. Still the best place in the world to raise a family, start a business, start a career. Lubbock, Texas is a absolutely great city.
A friend of mine named Brandy Sanders was on the radio, and he said, I'll tell you one thing. He said, that Paul Bean is a very loyal guy about Lubbock. If you want to get him hot, start talking about Lubbock.
Exactly.
He said, you're going to get on the fighting side of him in a heartbeat. And I love our town. There's some things from time to time that disappoint me, like it does everybody, but it's a great place to live.
It is.
Mayor, thanks for coming in this morning, and thanks for being candid with us. You sure look nice.
Thank you.
You've got another little chore to do today. So cool. Oklahoma State coming in for the Red Raiders Saturday.
I tell you what, guns up.
Absolutely.
Tough loss last weekend, but we're going to make up for it.
We'll get there. Mayor Glenn Robertson on the Chad Hastie Show.